you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today could be called Trivia Sunday, and you're wondering why. Well, the first piece of trivia I'm going to give you is that today is not actually All Saints' Day. It's All Saints' Day observed. All Saints' Day falls on November 1st, and today is the 23rd Sunday of Pentecost. But we are observing All Saints' Day today. Okay, that's the first piece of trivia. Why? It's important for us to remember those who have gone before us. And yes, that's euphemistic language. Those who have passed away, those who are dead, those who've gone to meet their maker, those who've kicked the bucket. We're all going there. Every single one of us is going there at some point. And despite what anybody tells you, we have no idea of what it is like. No one has ever been to the afterworld and come back and given a report. There's no evidence that Lazarus told anybody what he saw after he had died.
Get down. Then stop touching the computer.
However, we do believe in the promise of an afterlife. There are references to it in Scripture. And there's long been a belief throughout humanity that there is something out there. Now, it takes on different shapes and forms. And we'll see a couple of different forms of that this week. Because before we get to All Saints' Day, we are going to have our very American holiday of Halloween, in which Americans will spend more than $16 billion on decorations and treats and stuff for kids. That's all fine. That's all good. But Halloween should not overwhelm All Saints' Day. In fact, without All Saints' Day, we would not have Halloween. It's true. Halloween is a contraction for All Hallows' Eve. So I did some research on this, and a little bit sketchy, but there are some beliefs that our tradition of Halloween has its roots in the Celtic festival of Samhain. Maybe you've heard that. The Celts seem to be responsible for a lot of stuff in the Western world. But Samhain was this belief that the year was turning, and it was a time to get ready for the cold days of winter, and then we'd get ready for the spring that was going to follow that. There was a belief or a suspicion that spirits had free rein on All Hallows' Eve. And people put on costumes because they did not want to be identified by malevolent spirits. So yeah, this is all pretty crazy out there. But there is something that we should think about. And that is how we as people of faith process death and loss and illness. And we have a really good example of that in this morning's reading from John. So this is probably the first confession in the Johannine Gospel of Jesus' divinity. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only you had been here. There was a lot of belief in the power of Jesus. It had been spreading throughout the countryside at that time. And people thought that Jesus could heal the sick, and they saw him do that. But why not cure the ultimate illness? Why not conquer death? Now, we know people are still intent on trying to do that. We know there are people who are spending ridiculous amounts of their own money to fund research on extending their lives and potentially gaining immortality. I have no desire to die. But I've got to tell you that living forever would be really boring. I would actually read every book I have. I would ultimately get tired of all of you, as you would of me. The world would lose some of its ability to inspire awe and wonder in me. And we enjoy those things partially because we know we're going to die. Now, I'm not encouraging death to arrive anytime soon. Not for anybody here, not for anybody's relatives. And when it happens, it tanks. I've been here almost 15 years, and I've watched a number of our congregants pass away. And some of these congregants I would describe as saints. And I'm going to name some of them, not because I want to dismiss some others who I don't name, but because these are the ones that come to mind immediately. And some of you here know these people, and some of you don't. But think about Doc and Laura Place. They gave of their hearts and souls to this congregation for decades. And I was able to be with Gordon Place at the end, and then his wife Laura survived. And she lived here for a while. And then she went down to Heritage Havenwood Heights. And she got ill during the pandemic. And you remember all of the rules that were laid down for us to observe. And she was deprived of contact with her family. Now, she lived on a first floor unit, so her family was able to come see her and look in the window and wave at her. Laura deserved better. I can think of other people who passed away. People like Carolyn Bassett, who I think would be okay with my stole today. I think it's aligned. I can think of Lloyd Bennett, who gave me my weekly dose of affirmation when he would come up to me at coffee hour and say, "Doing a good job, young man." But Lloyd really worked hard for this church. I can think of my mother, who passed away during the pandemic, and my father, who died long ago. And these are people I will never get to talk to again. So I look at the Bennett House down the street from where I live on Elm Street, and I want to stop in to see Ginny. And I can't because Ginny is now retired down to southern New Hampshire. I want to drive up to visit Gordon and Barbara Sargent. And I can't do that because they are dead. Barbara passed away on Christmas Day of last year. But these people's memories are a gift to us. We have all lost people we care about. And yes, it can be kind of macabre to spend lots of time dwelling on the memories of those who have gone before us. But that doesn't mean we should forget them. That doesn't mean that they stop having an influence on us. So look around again. Look at your fellow saints. And again, I said this before, there is no punch list you have to complete to be recognized as a saint. The modern church still recognizes saints. And when I say the modern church, I refer to the church universal, not just the Catholic Church. It's okay for us to say that saints are still amongst us. Because who are we to say that God has stopped making saints? Who are we to say what God says? So So this is where I feel like I'm going to be a denominational spokesman. And I've never been a big fan of the marketing campaign the United Church of Christ has, but it adopted the slogan of God is still speaking. That phrase came from Gracie Allen. Some of you may recognize that name, George Burns' wife, the other half of the comedy duo. My understanding is that this campaign was originally pitched to another denomination, and that denomination declined, and then it was shopped to the UCC, and the UCC thought, okay, we'll try to be hip here, and they adopted it. But there's some insight into that comment about God is still speaking. Think about that. The word of God is still spoken. Now, I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you whose words are the words of God. And if you ever come across a preacher who will tell you that I am going to convey to you a revelation from God now, be very, very cautious and back slowly away to the back of the sanctuary and leave. They may be a prophet. I'm not telling you to run out screaming, but I do think some caution would be appropriate. But as I say that, who am I to judge? Who are you to judge? Well, fortunately, we still have saints amongst us to help us figure out what's right and what's wrong. And this afternoon, we're going to have a whole bunch of saints at work in the kitchen, putting together the community dinner. And then we'll have a bunch of saints serving the dinner, and a bunch of saints sitting and sharing the meal. And then God bless them, a bunch of saints who will clean up. Those people are saints. You don't have to be a great religious figure to be a saint. I'm not going to say just be you, or just do you, or something else facile. But I am going to say that sainthood might seem like it's some status that we cannot achieve. And I would say you're wrong if you say that. We are all fallen. We are all broken. We're all damaged. Humanity is a hot mess. As much as it's ever been. But we can still do pretty incredible things. And to give you a preview of next week's service, where I'm going to give you my quadrennial election sermon, there is hope. I hope everybody here can feel the hope. Because if you are a Christian, you are a person of hope. If you are a Christian or want to be a Christian, you would not be here if you did not experience some hope. At the very least, think of the hope that is present in Jesus Christ. Think about everything Jesus went through. And yes, the end was awful. And Jesus wanted to know what was going on. And he quoted Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is okay to feel abandoned. But God still committed his spirit to God. So you notice I said that God and God. Jesus was God. Jesus is also human. And we see evidence of that in today's passage from John. So if you look at verse 35, which is translated as Jesus began to weep, that was the RSV committee, the NRSV committee's attempt to be more particular about what the language actually said in Greek. You may remember that as being the shortest verse in the gospel. Jesus wept. Jesus, the Son of God, wept. God wept. God was present. God felt the pain and the sorrow. And why doesn't God relieve us of the sorrow and the pain and illness? I have no idea. God made the world a certain way. And I feel for those who are ill, for those who are caring for people who are ill or aging. It's hard. But that is part of the human story. We all experience it. You're born, you grow up, you get older, you die. And somewhere along the way, some other stuff might happen. So you might need people like Jim Arante, who is another saint of this congregation. And I missed Jim a lot earlier this fall when we had the crop walk. Jim used to make the most awesome soup for the crop walk. But Jim also brought a deep and keen faith to church. And I look at Linda sitting in the pews, and I imagine Jim next to her. And I'd often come into the sanctuary before worship, and Jim would be there researching the quote on the front of the bulletin. And Jim was a great deacon. Jim asked tough questions. Jim wanted to get stuff done. Jim was a saint. And again, any of you can be saints too. And I know that some of you are saints now. More of you than you might think. So you may remember that on Children's Sunday, we often sing, I'm going to look up the hymn here because I can't remember the title. I could sing it to you. I wouldn't do that to you. Sing the Song of the Saints of God. Thank you, Brian. And if we had a more modern hymnal, this would be alphabetized. But So this is where I would be scolded by my preaching professor for leaving pregnant pauses here. But I'm going to read the hymn to you. I'm not going to sing it to you. But I sing a song of the saints of God, patient and brave and true, who toiled and fought and lived and died for the Lord they loved and knew. And one was a doctor, and one was a queen, and one was a shepherdess on the green. They were all of them saints of God on a mean, God helping to be one too. They loved their Lord so dear, and his love made them strong. And they followed the right for Jesus' sake the whole of their good lives long. And one was a soldier, and one was a priest, and one was a slain by a fierce wild beast. And there's not any reason, no, not the least, why I shouldn't be one too. They live not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea, in church or in trains, or in shops or at tea. for the saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too. Does that hymn resonate with you? And yes, it's more or less set in England back at the turn of the 20th century. But it's just people like us. The people who politicians like to describe as everyday Americans. Everyday people. People like you and me. I want to be a saint. And I know you do too. So would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you this day for the gift of the saints, and we ask that you help us be saints too. Be with us in all we do and all we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.